Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down.
Our guest this week grew up in Joliet, Illinois, and his dream was to be a Major League Baseball player. He was a math major at Mississippi State University while playing baseball for them, and he appeared in the College World Series. God had other plans. In 2002, he became a priest and served as a vocation director for 13 years. Since 2013, he's been the chaplain for my Chicago Cubs. And since 2022, he's been the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues in Hinsdale, Illinois. Known as the baseball priest, his name, Father Burke Masters. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Burke Masters, the chaplain for my Chicago Cubs. Welcome, Father, an honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. Great to be with you on the show today.
Can we start by you offering us an opening prayer as we begin Holy Week?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for this time of year as we enter Holy Week. We just ask that you flood us with your grace. Open our hearts to receive all that you have in store for us as we approach the passion, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Help us to be your faithful disciples today and all the days of our lives. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you're the youngest of three sons. Grew up in Chicago. Parents were Todd and Janet. And they took you to your first ball game when you were 7 years old, Wrigley Field. What do you remember?
Yeah, so I remember, so my parents grew up outside of St. Louis, so kind of a funny story. So they're diehard Cardinal fans. And so we couldn't be Cub fans growing up in a household of Cardinal fans. So I remember going there and, you know, I had to root for whoever the Cubs were playing. But I also remember, you know, I said, I'm going to be on that field one day. I just remember the smells, the sounds, the crack of the bat, the roar of the crowd, you know, hot dogs and all of that goes into attending a Major League Baseball game. And I was just enthralled by it. And I decided I'm going to dedicate, you know, the rest of my life to be on that field as a player. And if it'd be for the Cubs, you know, then even better in my hometown.
That was your dream growing up. Talk about your faith and your mom and your dad, please.
Yes. Yeah, so my mother grew up Southern Baptist, and my dad grew up in United Church of Christ, and very faithful grandparents, my grandparents. So they would go to church every Wednesday, every Sunday, and, you know, pretty strict upbringing. When they got married in 1959, and then they moved from Southern Illinois to Joliet, which is a suburb of Chicago. They said, you know, they were looking for a church, and life was busy with three boys and sports, and my dad coached, and little by little, they just kind of fell out of practice of the faith. And so I was raised in a, I would say in a Christian home, but really uncatechized. I didn't know much about Christ. I wasn't in the practice of going to any church, but my parents taught us morals. They taught us right from wrong. They taught us, you know, to pray maybe before we went to bed. But that was about the extent of it growing up.
You went to Providence Catholic High School in New Lenox because they had a great team. And God had a plan for you by going to that school. Other than becoming a great baseball player, what was that plan?
Yeah, so little did I know how that decision would change my life. My parents weren't happy with the public schools at the time. My older brothers had gone to the public schools, and they were heading in the wrong direction, my parents felt. So they gave me two options. There were the two Catholic high schools in town, and I went to Providence Catholic because many of my friends were going there, and they had a great baseball program. And I say, little did I know how God would use that decision to introduce me to priests, nuns, Mass, the Catholic Church, so much so that I end up joining the Catholic Church my senior year in high school. So at the age of 18, and I remember the date clearly, May 26, 1985, I was baptized, communion, confirmation, all in the same day. And so I was happy to be Catholic, but looking back on it now, I know that the seeds of my vocation were being planted there in that high school.
All right. Then you go to Mississippi State to play baseball and to get a degree. Why Mississippi State?
So interestingly, my father played basketball at Mississippi State, but it was never such that my dad said, I want you to go where I went. In fact, it really wasn't on my radar screen until they started recruiting me as a baseball player. And so I narrowed my choices down to Northwestern here in Chicago, Mississippi State, and Stanford. And when I went to Mississippi State, it was February, beautiful 85-degree day, playing for Mississippi State were Will Clark, Rafael Palmeiro, Bobby Thigpen, and Jeff Brantley. And then playing for Auburn was Bo Jackson. And there were about 10,000 people at a college baseball game. And coming from the Midwest, where even college baseball around here might draw 100 people, you know, but to have 10,000 rabid fans, I signed on the dotted line. And I say God has a sense of humor. So I grew up in Joliet, which is a very Catholic town, as a non-Catholic. And then I become Catholic, and I end up in the middle of Mississippi, which was 2% Catholic. So God has a sense of humor in our lives.
You mentioned Rafael Palmeiro. There's only been 7 men in the history of baseball that have 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. Our own Miggy, Eddie Murray, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, A-Rod, Albert Pujols, and Rafael Palmeiro.
Mm.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yes, it was kind of ironic. So they graduated, or they were drafted in the spring of 85. I came in the fall of 85. But I heard great stories, and they've become friends, you know, in our alumni association. You know, Will Clark was known as the natural because of his great swing. But everybody says it was Rafael that was the natural. You know, Will Clark had to really work on his swing, and he became an outstanding professional hitter as well. But Coach Polk had told the other coaches, he said, if you touch Palmeiro's swing, you're going to get fired. He was that good coming right out of high school and, carried that in through an amazing professional career.
We're talking to Father Burke Masters. When we come back, we're going to ask him about one famous swing that he had in 1990 from Mississippi State. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Father Burke Masters. Father, let's go back to May 26th, 1990. What do you remember?
Yeah, it's a day that I'll never forget. And ironically, it was the 5th anniversary of my baptism. I didn't realize that until about 20 years later when I saw somebody posted something on Facebook about that date. And I thought, wow, that's my baptismal date. So a couple of days prior to this, we started the regional tournament to go to the College World Series, which was a dream of mine. And now this is my senior year, and this is our last chance to go. So we played the University of Illinois in game one, my home state, and I went 4-for-5, and we won the game. The ball looked like a balloon coming in slow motion. It was one of those in-the-zone moments. The next day, we played Brigham Young, and I went 2-for-3, and we won the game. And so the next day was May 26, 1990. We were playing Florida State. They were the number one or two team in the nation at the time. Eddie Perez was playing for them. And I was 5-for-5 in the game. I came up in the ninth inning. We were down 8-7. with the bases loaded. And I worked the count to 3-1, and I looked down to Coach Polk in the third base coaching box, and he gave me the signal to say, one pitch, one location. In other words, if you get a fastball right down the middle, swing. And Ricky Kimball, who was their closer, threw probably a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle. And in other days, it probably would have felt unhittable, but that tournament, I couldn't miss. And he threw a strike, and I swung. And it was one of those where I didn't even feel it come off the bat. It just jumped. And I knew as soon as I hit it that it was gone. And there's a famous call. Now, everybody that knows Mississippi State baseball knows the call, a grand slam for Masters, a grand slam for Masters. The crowd is berserk. And so there were probably 15,000 people there. Went crazy. I floated around the bases. We end up winning the game, the tournament, and I was named most valuable player of the tournament to help us get to the College World Series. And that moment was voted recently the top sports moment in Mississippi State history, which is unbelievable to me because I hit maybe 5 home runs a year. But when I go back to Mississippi State, I'm known for a grand slam. People think I was a big power hitter.
We're talking to the baseball priest, Father Burke Masters. If you want to learn more, he's got a daily blog, frburke23.wordpress.com. Father, you then became an actuarial analyst for Kemper Insurance. Then you worked for the Kane County Cougars, a minor league affiliate. And God called you one day for a different career. How did that happen?
So as I was working for the Kane County Cougars, my dream was to become a Major League Baseball general manager once my playing career was done. And after 4 years, I had a job offer with the front office with the Florida Marlins. One of my college roommates had become a Major League Baseball agent, very successful, and he was looking for a partner. And then my girlfriend at the time introduced me to Eucharistic Adoration. And even though I'd been Catholic about 8 years at that time, I'd never been to adoration before. And so I'd always heard, they said, you know, the couple that prays together stays together. And so we went every Tuesday night for an hour of adoration. And I didn't know how to pray. And so Stephanie started teaching me how to, you know, just put the books down and just have a conversation with God and listen to him. And after a few months of this, the silence, I started to hear a voice, not an audible voice, of course, but I heard a voice in my heart say, I want you to be a priest. And I said, God, I don't want to be a priest. I want to marry Stephanie. I want to become general manager of the Cubs and live a life happily ever after, you know, but it wouldn't go away. And people started coming up to me in the ensuing week saying, you know, Burke, I think you would make a great priest. And so I always feel like the Holy Spirit speaks directly to us, but also speaks to us through other people. And it was as if I can use a basketball analogy, God was putting a full court press on me to say, this is what I created you to do.
You became a priest in 2002, and for 13 years you served as a vocation director for the Diocese of Joliet. In baseball, Father, you can never have enough pitchers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We also can never have enough salesmen for God.
Amen.
Talk about vocations today and the challenges we have.
Yeah, again, God's sense of humor. I thought I'd be recruiting ball players for my team, and I was recruiting priests for God's team. And he's the best general manager ever. And so, as you said, I learned more about the church and grew in my faith and felt this calling and became a priest in 2002, I had never been happier in my life. And when we find God's calling in life, that's where we find true joy. And so, from 2006 to 2018, I was the vocation director. And they say one of the biggest obstacles to religious vocations today are parents. And I think that's because families are smaller. You know, it used to be when families had 10 children, they'd give one or two to the church all the time. But now when we have two children, and you might have one boy, one girl, you want the family name to continue, you want grandchildren. And so a lot of Catholic parents are not encouraging their kids to go into the priesthood. Of course, the scandal could be part of that as well. But I remember talking to so many parents, I'd say, what do you want for your children? And inevitably, they would say, I want my kids to be happy. And I would say, how do your children and how do you find happiness? And my experience in life is we find happiness not by doing what we want to do, but by following the will of God. And when we do that, whatever our vocation is, whether it's priesthood, religious life, marriage, that's where we find true joy. And I'm so proud of the young men that have answered the call, that are now brother priests here in our diocese, and the Holy Spirit's doing some wonderful things, not only here in the Diocese of Joliet, but I think throughout our country through some of these young priests who are answering the call when our world has a lot of obstacles to religious vocations.
We're talking to Father Burkmasters, who's been a salesman for God for 22 years. As such, Father, you've said Mass at least once a day. 22 times 365 is a little more than 8,000. So 8,000 times you've said, this is my body, this is my blood. Mm. When you say that, what do you think? What do you say to yourself?
Mm. Well, it's one of the most humbling things I do. Acting, in Latin they say, in persona Christi, meaning you're acting in the person of Christ. You know, when I hold the consecrated host up, I don't say, see, this is Jesus's body. You know, I say, this is my body. And so it is so humbling, such a privilege to do. And then at the same time, my parents, unfortunately, have both passed away. My mom in 1998, my dad in 2018. I feel this closeness to my parents when I'm celebrating Mass, especially at the consecration, probably more than I ever did, even when they were alive. And I know that sounds odd, but when we're in Mass at the consecration, the heavens are opened and we're participating in that heavenly liturgy. And I was privileged when my mom died, my dad gave me my mom's wedding ring, and it's now soldered onto my chalice. And so every time I'm elevating that chalice, my thumb is on my mom's wedding ring, and I'm praying for her, and I think she's praying for me to be the best version of myself, to become holy, to become the saint that God created me to be. I feel like God has called me from being a Protestant baseball player to be a Catholic priest, is to help Catholics who've grown up in this faith to say, do you realize the gift that we have in the Eucharist? Do you realize the gift that the Catholic Church is to you personally, but also to the world?
We're talking to Father Burkmasters. He's got a daily blog, frburke23.wordpress.com. When we come back, we're going to ask him about Holy Week. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WGAI. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula with Father Burkmasters. Father, we're starting Holy Week. What does God want each of us to do in these next 7 days?
Yeah, I would encourage all of us to take time out. You know, sometimes we have to work, but to make time for the special liturgies that the Church offers this week, beginning, of course, with Passion or Palm Sunday, and then Holy Thursday evening, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, Good Friday, the Veneration of the Cross, and or the Stations of the Cross, the Easter Vigil, and then, of course, Easter Sunday. The beauty of these liturgies just kind of leads us into the mystery of what we're celebrating. The reason why we are Catholic Christians is that God became man, and he took on our flesh, and we take that for granted because it's just such a part of who we are. But to really think about what God did for us, and that he willingly laid down his life for us on the cross, and that he rose to new life, and he sent his Holy Spirit, which we'll celebrate, you know, on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, but really to live these mysteries in a new way. You know, I always equate Lent with our spiritual spring training, you know, just like the ball players go back to the basics to get ready for the long season ahead. You know, the church gives us this Lent to go back to our basics of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to prepare for our year ahead, that we can become the best disciples of Christ that we can be. And there's no greater way to do that than to really invest ourselves into Holy Week and to allow the mystery of God's passion, death, and resurrection to come alive within us.
What's the basic message of Easter, Father?
That not even death can win. That the message of Easter is that no matter how difficult things can get, and we all have heavy crosses that we bear, that it's through Jesus's passion and death that comes the resurrection. And that mystery is lived out in our own lives. You know, having lived through a very difficult, my mother died in my arms from an internal hemorrhage. My dad died from cancer, you know, 2018. Some of the most difficult things I've experienced, but my faith is what gets me through this, to realize that, okay, this physical death may seem like the end. The scripture says it may seem like the end to the foolish, but to those who have faith, you know, we believe that life goes on forever, that my mother and father are together with the Lord, that I will see them again. That's what we're celebrating. And that's what the hope that comes with Easter gets us through the most difficult times, the heaviest crosses that we have to bear in life.
I heard recently someone say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So in 2013, God had another plan for you. What happened?
Yes, I got a call from the Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's an organization that their mission is to get priest chaplains in with every Major League Baseball and NFL football team. And so Ray McKenna, who's the founder, he called and he said, Father Burke, I hear that you played baseball and we need a Catholic chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, I about dropped the phone. I'm thinking, are you serious? And so he explained the ministry to me that, you know, it's a volunteer position, but I'd go down Sunday home games, so about twice a month, travel to Wrigley Field. And so from Joliet, my diocese, it's about an hour's drive, and celebrate Mass for the players from both teams and any of the stadium personnel. So it's before the gates open, so it's not open to the fans, to give the players some privacy. And then after Mass, make myself available in the clubhouse, maybe to hear confessions or just to sit down and talk with guys. And it has been one of the most amazing experiences in my life to, you know, celebrate Mass for somebody who makes $20 million a year sitting next to somebody who sells, you know, popcorn at the game. And to see in God's eyes, there's no difference. You know, sometimes our culture wants to stratify everyone and, you know, put us all in our different boxes. But in God's eyes, we're all his beloved children. And so it's been an incredible gift and blessing to be able to do this as a priest the last 11 years.
All right. Us Cubs were the Yankees in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s. We won the World Series 3 years in a row, 1906, 7, and 8. Then we hit a dry spell, Father. We hit a dry spell. It was 108 years. It was over a century. By the way, every Major League Baseball has 108 stitches. So it was time. Let's go back to November 2nd, 2016. Tell us about that night.
Yeah, so I don't travel with the team, so the Cubs were playing in Cleveland. You know, Cleveland had gone up 3-1. The Cubs won the next 2 games to tie it, to force Game 7. And so ESPN interviewed me by Wrigley Field before Game 6 and 7. You know, and if you're a Cubs fan, you'll know the story of the curse of the Billy Goat. And the story goes that a man tried to bring his goat into the stadium in the early 1900s, and he was denied, and so he put a curse on the Cubs. And it was because of that that they had not won in 108 years. And so it was kind of a fun thing. ESPN wanted to know if I'd give the team a blessing. And, you know, so we went through that on the air. And so I gave the interview at Wrigley Field. And there were probably, I don't know how many thousands of people outside the stadium, even though the game was in Cleveland. So I took off. I don't like huge crowds like that. So I took off to the suburbs. I watched the first 8 innings with some good friends. And then the Cubs were winning. I believe it was like 6-2 at one point. Cleveland came back to tie it, 6-6, and they had all their momentum. And then the rain delay happened. And so I knew I had 6:30 a.m. mass the next day at the cathedral, and I was about 30 minutes from home, and it was getting late. So I thought, I can drive home and then finish the game, you know, at home. Long story short, it was an 18-minute rain delay. The Cubs score in right after the rain delay, and then they held Cleveland for the final out to win. And I remember I got home just in time to see the final out, and I'm jumping up and down in my room, and my phone is blowing up, and Chicagoland exploded, as you can imagine, after 108 years of futility. And it was like, the curse is over. 108 years of losing is over. And there were grown men in tears all over the place who had been waiting for that moment. It was incredible.
Another person of lore is our famous Steve Bartman that touched the ball, you know. Did you ever bless Steve Bartman?
I have never met Steve Bartman. After that, he went into the witness protection program, actually. Poor guy, his life was threatened, and I did hear that they gave him a ring, a championship ring after winning the World Series, which is a nice gesture.
Baseball started in 1869, so we're starting next week the 154th season. Why has it been so beloved for 150 plus years in America?
Yeah, baseball just has this timeless sense to it. You know, unlike, and I love, you know, NFL football. I love college basketball. Both of those sports are on a clock. And baseball, you know, we do have a pitch clock now, but there's just this sense of, you know, this timelessness of baseball. You can sit and relax with a friend and talk about life while you're taking in the action of a game. And there are people who think that baseball is boring. But when you fully understand all of the strategy that's going on behind each pitch, between the pitcher and the catcher, between the infielders and how they're, you know, playing the hitter based on the pitch that's about to be thrown. And as somebody who's played the game at a high level, you know, it's a fascinating game. And every pitch has this drama behind it. Again, to the average eyes, it might seem like a boring game. I remember thinking, I used to think soccer was a boring game to watch. And then I had a friend explain to me all of the strategy behind it. And I started to enjoy soccer, hockey. You know, there's so many, once you know the details of something, it takes on new life. And baseball just has that sense, like it's in my blood and always will be. And I think that's true for millions of people around the world.
Famous Ernie Harwell, who was the Tigers announcer for 50 years, once said that baseball is a ballet without music. It's a drama without words. We're talking to Father Burke Masters. If you want to go to YouTube, FRBURKE Masters. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Burke Masters. Since 2013, he's been the chaplain for my Chicago Cubs. We're just ending spring training, and I believe that spring training of 2016 was special for you, Father. Please.
It was. Joe Madden, who was born and raised Catholic, when we met, he said, "Father Burke, priests have made a difference in my life, and so you have permission to go anywhere here on this campus. The only place you can't be, according to MLB rules, you can't be in the dugout during the game." So I said, "In fact, you want to practice with the team tomorrow?" I said, "Are you serious?" So the next day, I'm in full uniform with the Cubs. I'd become friends with Miguel Montero, one of the catchers. And Joe just said, "You know, follow Miguel. Just have a blast out there." So batting practice starts. I follow Miguel to the field, and it's a whole starting lineup of the Cubs. You know, Rizzo, Bryant, Russell, all those guys, and me. And so I go in the outfield, the shag balls, and I was talking with Kyle Hendricks, one of the pitchers, who I think may be the only player still on the 2024 Cubs that played on that World Series team. Great guy. And we're talking, this small talk, and I start to cry during the conversation. And my first thought was, there's no crying in baseball. But then my next thought was, it was like God was saying to me, "Burke, this was your dream to be a Major League Baseball player." And I remembered that seven-year-old boy at Wrigley Field saying, "I was going to be on that field." But he said, "Now you're living my dream as a priest, and you get to do it in the major leagues." And so what I learned from that experience, but my whole life, is, you know, God says, "Give me back everything I've given you. All the gifts and talents you have are gifts from me. Offer them back to me." And then God takes them, blesses them, purifies them, consecrates them, and gives them back to us in ways that we never imagined. And if I could have written my story, you know, when I was younger, I don't think I could have imagined what was in store for my life. And God just keeps surprising me with more and more. So I always encourage people. I say, we cannot do God in generosity, but I dare you to try.
We're talking to Father Burke Masters. Grew up in Joliet, Illinois. There was another kid from Joliet, Illinois, named Rudy Rudiger. The famous movie about Notre Dame. Maybe someday, Father, they're going to make a movie about this Burke Masters kid in history.
I've had people say that. You know, we had the priest movie out recently about Father Stu, yes, who was a boxer.
Yes.
And so I've had several people say this book needs to be made into a movie. If that's God's will, my purpose for writing the book, A Grand Slam for God, is to bring people closer to Christ. My number one goal is to evangelize and help people have a relationship with Jesus, to live with him for all eternity. And so if a movie would help that process, that would be great.
The season starts this week. What's your prediction for our Cubs this year?
Wow. Well, we're very happy that Bellinger re-signed. And I know a lot of us are hoping maybe for one more signing, maybe, you know, one of the pitchers that is still out there on the market. But I think the Cubs are going to be exciting to watch. They surprised everybody last year by, you know, making a good run at the end of the season. And so I think a year under their belts with some of the young guys, some of the great veterans that they have, I think it could be a very exciting year. And the National League Central, I think, is up for grabs for just about any team.
We're talking to Father Burke Masters. He has a daily blog, frburke23.wordpress.com. It's amazing. Every day you combine the gospel for the day with some baseball facts, etc. How do you do that every day?
I try to make the gospel relevant to people. And you know, I remember having one person say, enough of the baseball. But on the other end, I get person after person, many times it's men saying, I can finally relate to the scriptures the way you bring it alive and make analogies with baseball or other types of sports even to help this come alive. And so I think that, if I could say humbly, I think that's a gift that God has given me, because it's all for His glory, is to bring the scriptures to a very practical level. And how can we live out a life of holiness, whether you're called to be a priest or religious or a layperson? How can I become the best version of myself, as Matthew Kelly says? And so I do the daily YouTube video and the daily written blog in English and Spanish. And the feedback that I get is pretty overwhelming.
You've been a priest for 22 years. What's the biggest thing you've learned in those 22 years?
The biggest thing I've learned is that you and I, all of us listening, are beloved children of God. I remember when I was playing, I used to get my identity from my mission. So this is the biggest lesson. It's called RIM, Relationship, Identity, Mission. So it should start with a relationship with God. He reveals to us our identity as beloved children of God, and then He has a mission for us all. People like Mike Sweeney, who's become a good friend, played 15 years in the major leagues. He has a strong relationship with God, and his transition into retirement was smooth. And so this is one of the biggest lessons that I can share with people, is never forget who you are as a beloved child of God.
Father Burke Masters, you are a Hall of Fame player on the greatest team ever, God's team. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you. Thanks for the time today.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasulo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall. Believe in yourself.